We pray that this Advent retreat here on Living Witness is going to bring you to the most joyful Christmas ever. We are going to continue reading The Four Teresas by Gina Lair. We're studying St. Teresa of Avila this week, and we're on page 42.
Living the lessons. The choice to give our soul completely to God, as St. Teresa did, can seem deceptively simple. God wants your soul to experience heavenly bliss now and for all eternity. Would you like to accept or decline? Accept, of course, but an honest consideration ought to follow St. Teresa's lessons on the union of the soul with Christ. The love she bore in her soul did not mature overnight. It came through her conversion and a corresponding commitment to the commandments. By dying on the cross for us, Jesus freed us from our sins. Truly accepting this gift of freedom can't help but have an effect on our lives. Thinking of the love Jesus has shown us on the cross helps us to love him in return. Remember the image of the wounded Christ that had such an impact on St. Teresa? If we want to experience a similar conversion in our lives, we can follow her advice to always fix our eyes on our crucified Savior. When we do, keeping the commandments becomes easier and easier. We see them as gifts that God gave us to help prepare our souls to welcome him. On the other hand, when we are not seeking a loving relationship with God, we want to be free to act selfishly. Rooting out that selfishness is a necessary first step to loving God. This helps us seek a different freedom, the freedom from any threat of sin, the freedom to love God as he deserves to be loved.
We can follow Teresa's example of loving God through the generous offering of self-surrender. We can also make our souls fertile ground for a rich spiritual harvest by striving to overcome sin and develop virtue, working against any barriers to God's love and readying ourselves to welcome him prepares us to be fully united with him. Surrender to the master of our soul is not just a proclamation or a good intention. This surrender, if it is complete, will also affect our actions. It includes the ordering of our lives as God directs. But why would we give up our freedom and promise to order our lives according to someone else's will? Because God is all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful. He knows what's best for us, desires our true happiness, and can arrange everything for our benefit. As we wrap up this chapter full of challenges, remember that St. Teresa didn't start out too differently from most of us. She had to overcome sin, selfishness, and vanity, but she took great consolation in the fact that many saints before her had to do the same. She commended herself to various saints at different points in her life, including St. Mary Magdalene and St. Augustine.
St. Teresa had a particular affection for St. Augustine, whose conversion story was a favorite of hers. When she read his confessions, she saw herself portrayed there. St. Augustine's change of heart made her feel as if God had spoken directly to her. This is often the effect when we read about the saints. God speaks to us through them. Indeed, he calls us to join their company. St. Teresa once told her sisters, "God deliver us, sisters, from saying we are not angels or we are not saints whenever we commit some imperfection. We may not be, but what a good thing it is for us to reflect that we can be if we will only try and if God gives us his hand. God's grace can transform us into saints. Our job is to surrender ourselves to this action in our souls. This surrender is the beginning of our soul's union with God, in which we abandon ourselves into the arms of love," as St. Teresa wrote. What rejoicing we will feel in the depths of our being when we can exclaim with St. Teresa, "O Jesus, my Lord, how precious your love is."
I want to thank everybody who's sticking with us through this retreat. The Advent season is always so focused on things of the world, getting ready for Christmas in a worldly way, and too many people don't take time to prepare spiritually. This chapter on St. Teresa of Avila has been so powerful in pointing out how we really need to look into our inner selves, how we need to self-surrender, how we need to order our lives and detach from things of this world, which is the complete opposite of what the world tells us during the Advent season. For me personally, I find that taking the time to really stop and read and ponder, it is changing my Advent season this year, and I certainly hope it's doing the same for you. At the end of each chapter, Gina gives us some beautiful reflections. We're going to take time now to reflect on St. Teresa of Avila. So for our first reflection, which of St. Teresa's qualities do I most admire? And how much could these qualities become a part of who I am? Next in the book, Gina gives us an opportunity to ponder 10 ways that we can be more like St. Teresa of Avila.
Well, number one, meditate on a passage from the Gospels. Number two, keep silent when you are falsely accused, unless it would cause scandal. Three, meet regularly with a good spiritual director. Four, ask God to reveal how you can use your gifts to serve the church. Number five, do acts of penance, even outside of Lent. Number six, examine your conscience whenever you glance in a mirror. Number seven, participate in a program that helps form young people in their faith. Number eight, go to confession monthly. Number nine, redirect gossip by publicly giving the benefit of the doubt to the victim. Number 10, attend daily mass more often than you go shopping.
As we move through this retreat, do you feel God tugging at your heart to draw near? Do you have that burning in your heart to have a more intimate relationship with Christ? Well, as we've learned, it happens through prayer. And it just so happens that Veronica's husband, Matthew Leonard, has written books and studies that will help everybody from the laity to seminarians and priests to have that deeper, more intimate relationship with Christ himself. And it also just so happens that he's going to make a cameo with us today. Matthew, we are so grateful that you're able to join us. And can you tell us, what was the inspiration for your website, The Science of Sainthood?
The riches of the Catholic faith and what it opens up for us. And our faith is not paper thin. The way that I was raised as a Protestant, it was, you know, it was kind of lacking, I think, at some of the intellectual depth. And we stand on the shoulders of such giants in the Catholic faith. And there's so much to dive into constantly, particularly in the spiritual life. You're never going to get to the bottom of it because God is infinite. And that's why prayer is such an important thing, because we're trying to connect to the infinite God, and that you're never going to get there. And yet the more you do it, the deeper you go, the more beautiful it becomes, and it changes your life. And that's why this needs to be something that's part of our daily regimen.
It seems like the easiest thing in life is to let the chaos of our world interfere with our prayer life. It's easy to say, God knows what's in my heart. But why is this one of the worst temptations that we can fall prey to?
Well, prayer is your relationship with God. And so you have to have a life of prayer if you're going to say you're a Catholic. Because if you're not conversing with someone, if you're not in relationship with them, how can you be called by their name? And we are Christians, right? And so we have to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And like my wife and I, how can we even say that we're in relationship if we didn't speak on a daily basis? And so we have to treat the Lord the same way. And for Catholics, it's beautiful because the church tells us exactly how to do it. It's not rocket science. There are three major modes of prayer. There's vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer. And every Catholic right now, starting today, should be engaging in vocal and meditative prayer. And this is the teaching of the saints throughout millennia in the history of the church. And Jesus himself tells us the same thing too. We need to pray constantly. And he showed us this in his relationship with the Father. But I think the biggest stumbling block for a lot of Catholics is we don't know exactly how to do it, even though the church spells it out. And it's very simple, particularly meditative prayer, where you just find quiet time. You set time aside on a daily basis. You're quiet with the Lord. I would say that the best thing to do is you find a quiet place. You recollect yourself by kind of quieting down the exterior and the interior. And once you kind of get to that place of kind of peaceful, at least semi-peaceful, there might be kids running around, who knows what's going on, but you try and find that space where you can enter into dialogue with the Lord, and then just take a Bible or a saint book or something and slowly begin to read through it and allow that to spur a conversation with the Lord. And when something jumps out at you off the page, you pause and you talk to the Lord about it. And when the moment is over or you get really distracted, just go back to your reading. And that's really all it is. That's meditative prayer in a nutshell. And the kind of the closer on it is, whatever it is that the Lord speaks to you about as you are spending that time with him, resolve to do something about it, because prayer is meant to change our lives. It's not just conversation. It's about transforming ourselves to be like Jesus Christ. So when he points something out to us, like maybe you need to forgive somebody, maybe there's a particular vice you need to work on, whatever it might be, you have to resolve to actually act on it and let it transform your life. And you do this day after day after day. And what happens is you become like that person you are speaking with and in relationship. Jesus rubs off on you and you become more like him. And that's the name of the game.
You touched lightly on my next question, but can you elaborate a little bit more on how can people stay focused during their prayer time?
It's one of the biggest questions out there. And first of all, everybody gets distracted. And St. Teresa of Avila says, when you get distracted, you just give it back to the Lord. And that act of giving the distraction back to the Lord becomes a prayer in and of itself, right? So the devil can't win for losing. But you'll also start to realize as time goes by that if prayer is such an important part of your life and I need to be able to quiet myself down, suddenly you realize everything in my life needs to begin to be ordered to that quiet time that I'm spending with the Lord. So if I'm binging on TV shows on Netflix the night before I'm going to enter into my time of prayer, and that keeps flooding my head when I'm trying to pray, I need to do something about that. In fact, St. Teresa would say it's a venial sin if you continue to do things that impinge on your time of prayer. You're making a willful choice to put something else in front of your relationship with God. So we have to begin to order our lives this way. When St. Paul says, pray constantly, and St. Gregory of Nazianzus says, you have to pray more often than you draw breath. The only way you can do that is by taking your life and looking at it in terms of how the things that I do during the day are going to impact my time and conversation with the Lord.
As we read about these great saints and see what that intimate relationship with Christ can look like, how do you address the person who says, but I don't feel anything when I pray?
Was that 70s song, feelings, nothing more than feelings, right? Feelings come and go faster than a 16-year-old with a brand new license, right? The more you mature in the spiritual life, the more you recognize it, just like in human relationships where the butterflies come and go. Gina remembers me staring into my wife's chocolatey browns and I'm all gooey inside, right? Well, you know, those feelings come and go. And but it doesn't change the level of love for my wife. And I know that even in those times that I'm not feeling something, or maybe I'm upset about something, or maybe I'm just flat out tired because I didn't sleep last night or whatever, it doesn't change the level of love for my wife, nor does it change her love for me. And so just because I don't feel something doesn't mean the reality isn't there. In fact, as you mature in the spiritual life, you will start to experience a lack of feelings, what God does to you on purpose, so that you begin to learn to not rely on those feelings as a measure of the relationship. So he starts to, it feels like he's pulling back from you a little bit, and you start to experience dryness and those kinds of things in prayer. In reality, what's happening is he's getting closer to you, but you just don't have the senses, the spiritual senses, to actually see how close he's getting, because you're still trying to use to feel him with your own physical senses and such. It's not happening anymore. And you're like, oh God, where did you go? He hasn't gone anywhere. He's actually gotten closer.
Another common question is perseverance. Any words of wisdom on how we can make prayer a permanent part of our daily routine?
Well, you always have to make an act of the will. God's always acting on us in grace. You make an act of the will and you decide that you have to do it. And the Lord will help you do it, but he's not going to force you. And I think that in the beginning, the best way to handle that is you don't bite off more than you can chew. You start with 10 minutes. Right? Take a little chunk of time. And in the beginning, it's going to be the longest 10 minutes of your life. What will happen as you continue to persevere in this, the time will start to go more quickly. And the reason why is very simple. This is what we're made for. Right? We are literally made to pray and be in relationship with Almighty God. So it will start to get easier. And the time will go by more quickly because you'll find yourself recollecting a little more easily and engaging in that conversation. then as time goes by, you're going to hit those dry spells and such when you're spending 20 or 30 or 40 minutes or an hour in prayer, but you've matured to the point where you know a little bit more of what's going on there. But you start small. It's just like working out in the natural life, right? You know, Mary Beth's into CrossFit. You don't run in there and start throwing those giant tires around the first day you walk into the gym. You would die, right? Jeez. It's the same thing in the spiritual life. You start with the little donuts, like the little tiny ones. You start bending those over and you get to the bigger and the bigger and the bigger. It's the same thing in the spiritual life.
At your website, The Science of Sainthood, you have several books and courses that people can participate in or purchase. Tell us about your most recent book, Prayer Works.
I wrote that book because what happened in my own life was when I became Catholic, I let my spiritual life go off the rails a little bit, as ludicrous as that sounds. But I got so enamored with the other things of the faith, I forgot my interior life. When I rediscovered it, that's when my life as a Catholic really began to mature and to take off. And frankly, I've dedicated my life to not just trying to grow spiritually myself, but to spread the knowledge of this beautiful spiritual teaching of the Catholic faith. That's what The Science of Sainthood is all about. And the book Prayer Works led to the founding of The Science of Sainthood, which is an online platform where I teach spiritual theology in kind of bite-sized video chunks. And once you engage this is my word of encouragement to people. Once you engage the spiritual life, you'll never want to go back. Like if you take it seriously, and you jump in, the Lord will take you to places you never dreamed. It doesn't mean you won't experience difficulties. It doesn't mean you won't experience suffering. We all deal with those things. But the Lord will wed himself to you in the most beautiful way, and everything changes in your life. And you're being prepared for eternity. That's what's really happening. The Lord is transforming you from the inside out into his daughter or son. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. That's the goal of everything. And you can't get there without prayer.
Matthew, you have put a great yearning in my heart to work on and develop my prayer life and my relationship with Christ. Where can I find your books and courses that you've developed to help me on my journey?
The easiest place is at scienceofsainthood.com.
Please join us again tomorrow as we look at points of consideration for St. Teresa of Avila on Living Witnesses.